from 1 Chronicles again, chapter 16. This chapter actually is the completion of a section in 1 Chronicles where David brings the ark to Jerusalem and sets up Jerusalem as a place of worship, giving God his rightful place in Israel. And in verse 7 it says, on that day David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. The verse 8 says, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in his strength, seek his face continually. Remember his marvellous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O ye seed of Israel, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen ones. He is the Lord our God, his judgments are in all the earth. I wonder if you've noticed already, that actually comes from Psalm 105, which we've already heard from our brother Grenville earlier this afternoon. The first 15 verses of this chapter are from Psalm 105, and then the major section in the second half is from Psalm 96. And just looking down to verse 24, declare his glory among the heathen, his marvellous works among nations. I heard a story recently of a woman who was enthusiastically telling some friends about a first aid course that she'd done. And she went on to say that just yesterday she came across an accident. It was a horrible crash, and she jammed on the brakes and ran back and found the car wrapped around a telephone pole. She said when she got to the injured driver, she saw a horrible sight. Her knees went limp and she didn't know what to do. But suddenly she remembered what she'd learnt at her first aid course. So she immediately bent down and put her head between her knees and she said, it worked. I didn't faint. Okay, that's a bit of an unusual ending to a story that you would expect to end a little bit differently. A lady had done a first aid course, you would expect to go and help at the scene of an accident. And in reflecting on these verses that we've just looked at, we see Israel, here they are in Jerusalem. David is setting up the ark and he's appointing that public worship for the nation. And the psalm says to remember God's wondrous works. God wanted them to remember his wondrous works, not so that they could keep it to themselves, but so that they then would take that knowledge that they had to the nations of the world. And Ros and I have been particularly blessed, privileged to be brought up in assemblies that have taught us the word of God. Rosalind grew up in went to Wavell Heights Assembly, and I went to Corinda Assembly. And in 1982 we were married and we continued on at the Corinda Assembly. But although our roots are here in Brisbane, we've been living in New South Wales for about the last 10 years. And during that time we were involved with GLOW for 3 years full-time and 4 years part-time. My main role at that time was to set up a publishing department for GLOW and also to train others in that area. And then we were also involved in holiday Bible club programs with GLOW in New South Wales and interstate. But however, it wasn't until 1991 that the Lord was taking us on. And has, just like Israel, God was progressively teaching Israel about himself, God also was progressively teaching us more and more about himself. We went to New Tribes Bible College to begin their 2-year Bible study course. And as the Word of God was taught to us faithfully each day, spending anywhere between 6 or 7 hours a day, Monday to Friday, studying the Word, we began to see, perhaps for the first time, that big picture. We understood generally the Bible, but It wasn't until we started putting the pieces together that we started to see that big picture of God's eternal plan. We knew about it, but just to see it unfold as we studied the Bible was exciting. And it's interesting to see our brother Don Adams here tonight, because it was years and years ago that he said to us, and I don't know where, but it just stuck in my mind, he said, find out what God is doing in the world and then get with it. And that's exactly what was happening when we were at Bible College. We were seeing through the scriptures what God is doing in this world. He's calling out people who are lost in sin and bringing them back into a right relationship with Him. He is building His church. And just like that lady who went to the first aid course and learned all those things, we could see we had a responsibility not just to hold on to those things and apply them to ourselves, although that is important too, but we also saw a responsibility to take that knowledge to a world that doesn't know about the God of the Bible. And of course, being at New Tribes Mission, we met a lot of missionaries who... our elders to pray through with us about the future. At college we were studying the book of Acts, and we came up to chapter 13 of the book of Acts. We had seen how that Paul and Silas had spent already 1 year at the church teaching. And then in chapter 13 it says that the Holy Spirit said both to Paul and Silas and to the leadership in the church there, set apart these two for the work which I've called them to. Well, our elders were praying and we were praying, and they came back to us and they said, we feel the Lord is directing you into cross-cultural missionary work. And we agreed that that seemed to be what the Lord was doing. However, they said, we'd like you to come into the church for two reasons. First of all, so that we could just have a time with the church, confirming to the church that this is what the Lord had called us to be actually missionaries at home, as it were. And our elders also said that they would like to have a part in the training of us. So for 2 years we worked in the church. At the end of that 2 years then we finished our time there and went back to New Tribes Mission to begin the missionary training course there, the 2 year course. All that during this time we continued going to St Clair, and just at the end of last year we completed our missionary training. We believe the Lord has called us to the Philippine island of Mindanao. And just as we've heard this afternoon and this evening about Roman Catholicism, Roman Catholicism has also affected the Philippines, as you probably well know. But if we were able to just strip back that veneer of Roman Catholicism in the country and get back to the roots of what makes up a Filipino, we would find that they have their roots in animism. And there are many, many tribes in the Philippines, remote tribes where you would have to spend hours hiking into the areas. You would find that they are still practicing their animistic ways. They have no knowledge of the God of the Bible, not even the misrepresented God that the Roman Catholicism presents. I was interested to notice this afternoon Mrs. Mahag and her testimony. How that she had a knowledge of God, even though she had rejected Jesus as the Messiah. She had a knowledge of God, a knowledge of sin, an awareness of the nature and character of God. But I think it's hard for myself and for any of us here to begin to imagine what it would be like if you never knew the creation story. If you never knew about the fall, or about Noah and the flood, or about Babel, or about the calling of Abraham, and about God's promise that He would send a deliverer through Abraham, and that promise passed on to Isaac, Jacob, and about God's great deliverance from Egypt when that nation grew. This is what 1 Chronicles is talking about here. Remember God's wondrous works. And Israel knew that. They remembered. And we know that too. In fact, we know a lot more now, don't we? We know of the wondrous work of Jesus Christ, how he performed wondrous miracles proving that he was God, how that he was the Saviour, and the greatest miracle of all, how that Jesus Christ, raised up from the dead, defeated sin, death and the devil. Imagine if you've never ever heard that. How often we sing these songs, our hymns, they're full of great truth. And straight away our minds go back to what we know, that there are people in the world who have never ever heard once. And so on the island of Mindanao, we've been told there are over 43 different tribal groups. We know that New Tribes Mission have an ongoing work there. They've done surveys into new areas, and there's 5 new areas that they could open up today if they had the missionaries. We have the option of going into one of those new works or to be involved in some of the existing works. There's 3 of them that we know of where they need co-workers. On the video, we'll just introduce you a little bit to the Philippines and what it's like, a little bit about the Catholicism that's there, because they've mixed that in with their animistic beliefs, and it's a different sort of Catholicism to what we're used to. And then we'll go down to Mindanao and show you a little bit about the tribal people and their beliefs. So we'll just put this video on. I just warn you that if you've got a weak stomach, there is a pig sacrifice halfway through, so you might want to just look away.
The Republic of the Philippines is an island country in Southeast Asia, consisting of 7,107 islands. Only about 1,000 of these islands are permanently inhabited. The lifestyle of Luzon, which makes up a third of the country. Manila, which is situated on Luzon, is the capital, the chief seaport and the largest city. It's a modern city and is a home of over 10 million people, 3 million of them living on quarantine town slums or on one of the 6 city rubbish dumps. Many of the people in country areas live in one-room homes built of bamboo poles. The houses are raised above ground level to prevent dampness. But there are also people of Chinese and European origin, together with Pygmies and tribal groups in the remote areas. The Portuguese navigator Ferdinand Magellan, who led the Spanish expedition, introduced Catholicism in 1521. The Spanish ruled the country from 1565. The Philippines has many Spanish-built Roman Catholic churches. The influence of the Catholic Church on what used to be an animistic people has resulted in what is known today as folk Catholicism, a blending of animism and Roman Catholic doctrine.
Catholicism, the things they do in Catholicism are not that different than what some of the tribal people have practiced for hundreds of years. And you see them within the Catholic Church, like where we were today, they can easily do many things that even Catholics in the U.S. or in other Western countries may not readily identify with, because here Catholicism is a blend. It's been maybe synchronized or mixed together with their own beliefs. And so to look to Christ for the answer isn't so much as looking to doing a certain magical thing, not touching a statue, having a priest or an individual bless you, having your palm read. It's all in the same world. These are things that you do to protect yourself from spirits. The Filipino people still are afraid of spirits, and it's hard to get an educated person to talk about it. They may do things that, for example, Westerner today does, and they just call it superstition, but it may have its roots in a real spiritual practice.
The second largest island of our biggest. Many of these people are fishermen who live in houses on stilts along the coast. Most of these people are Muslims. Mindanao is also the home of many remote tribal groups, each with their own distinct language and culture. Although outwardly many of these people have had Western influence, their tribal languages, ways of life, and animistic spirit worship are just as it has always been for many decades. Life is very hard for these remote people. The use of a carabao to pull a plough is a recent innovation brought about by the influx of lowlanders. Raw materials are usually collected by hand and cut out of the forest. They slash and burn off the land to save corn, rice, and sweet potatoes. Once harvested and dried, rice grain must be separated from the husk. The women loosen the outer covering by pounding the harvest in a bowl. The husk is finally removed by the process of winnowing. Rice, being a staple diet, is kept in the banana leaves, ready to serve hungry now. Tribal people. They could be governed by the sound of a bird or the position of a rock. This would indicate the spirit's will for their lives. Shamans make big sacrifices to appease one of the many spirits who control different areas of life. Your heart cries out to God to help them. Yet what is more devastating than their physical condition is the fact that they have never once had the opportunity to hear of the eternal salvation that Jesus can give.
Thank you.
language well and understand the way the people think, then we will be ready to begin to teach the word of God. Beginning at Genesis and working through the Old Testament, we plan to introduce the people to the true and living God, progressively revealing his nature and character and his plan to redeem the lost world. But this is only the beginning. God's command is to go into all the world and make disciples. New believers will need to be established, strengthened, and built up in faith. If they are going to be effective for Christ and reach out to others, they will also need God's word in their own language. Teaching them to read and translating scriptures are vital tasks if this new church is going to grow, and so is the appointment of elders from amongst the tribal believers. Only when this is done has God's work been accomplished. Just pray for us as we take the light of God's word into these dark corners of the world.